Okay. We have the meeting of the Beautification Environmental Advisory Committee, and we're going to call to order and pledge of allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice
for all. Okay, roll call from my left, please.
Ken Jones is here.
Jeffrey Side, here.
And I'm Glenn Partlow. And we have a quorum. So I reviewed the minutes, and I think they're adequate. I'll accept the motion to accept the minutes.
Well, I wasn't here last month, so...
Last month, there's no official meeting.
You've got to approve the meeting minutes before the...
I was going to approve the...
March is back. March, and then March. April, there wasn't, so it'd be the March.
Okay, I didn't realize we didn't have one.
Yeah.
Number one.
March meeting.
Casey, yes, I see those minutes. I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
Okay, so motion made and seconded and approved. Very good. And number two is similar, but since there was no official meeting...
Who's motion to...
I did.
Ken.
Motion by second.
So number two is invalid.
Didn't have a quorum last month?
No. Okay.
Yes.
Did we need both of them then?
Well, number two is invalid, since we did...
Yeah, there really was...
There were no minutes, because there was no meeting.
Right, that's true. Okay.
Okay, and we have some guests who are interested in the monument of veterans in the park. No, I'm not. I would like to be.
You have clothes on.
I had a high school meeting one night to give awards out, and they said, "Coach, we've never seen you with clothes on." And a few heads turned. But we're going to jump right away to new business number six on your agenda, Healing of the Wounded Spirit Memorial at Heroes Park, approval of monument and location. And all of us received attachments about the view of the monument, the location, narrative, placement in the circle, Wounded Spirit Memorial text on the front. I've looked at it, and as we said last month unofficially, I think it's wonderful, and it looks very complete to me. And I don't know if anybody else has gone through it, but I saw that diagram on my computer, and I thought I would wait till I...
You understand it, though, everything. Here's the parking over here on the right. Here's the main monument, and then the walkway comes around. This is where the Purple Heart Memorial is.
Right.
And this one is going to be very similar to that. And we don't have anything in this one yet, or this one. But this is the one they're going to put it in. And I think it's, very appropriate. I think it'll tie in with the theme of the colors, material, the way that the paver's going to work. One of the people in the parks team asked me today, where are they going to put around it in the meantime? Are they going to put the pavers in? And right, I talked to you about they're going to go ahead and get some blank pavers in there, and then order a few extras so that when they do get a brick donated, engrave that brick, and then they'll pull one of them out and replace it with the other one, so that at all times there'll be papers there. So that's the plan, and that's
very appropriate.
In fact, I've already got some that's already engraved to the medium.
Oh, good.
Right.
So as far as this whole thing happening, the timing is not going to be right away, but I think what they need is approval of this from the city. Plan so that it will assist in their donations. It's
right.
A lot easier to donate to something when it's a given. You don't want to go to somebody and say, "Well, we have to get approval of the city first, but would you give money for this?"
Right.
So I can understand that. So we're going to have y'all, what did they vote, whether you think it's appropriate or not. It was supposed to go to the Parks team tomorrow, but our Parks team meeting got canceled because half the people have another meeting. But I am sending it out in the email I sent out today. Told them I would update any comments that we get at the meeting today and then have them email back next week. So we'll have probably full approvals by the end of next week. So go ahead with it. And everything I've heard is positive. I don't see any issues with it. So, and as far as timing, you said maybe it might be a year before it happens?
I'm looking at a target date of completion. And then possibly, I'm thinking the Memorial Day for next year. This Memorial Day this year was so awesome and heart-touching. I think doing that again.
If you still need to tie it into something
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
You know,
absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm thinking this. Set around the Memorial Day.
Does anybody have any comments?
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
First of all, who is going to be responsible for the brick parkway as far as the bricks and contacting somebody and ordering the brick and so forth? And how will people know that?
I have it on website.
Okay.
I have all the paperwork already done.
She's got a file on 3C with a website.
Okay.
It's been up and running for about a year.
I kind of hope Debbie up with people with the Purple Hearts so they can kind of use that same vendor and maybe share shipments and work that out.
And
everything right there?
Physically, who's actually doing the work as far as changing the bricks out and putting them in?
Volusia Monument Company is going to be doing the engraving.
Right.
And then I guess I'll work with Bill on getting things.
Bill, you're
being volunteer from the board.
So, Bill, you're thinking that the city will take care of replacing the bricks and putting new papers in and then engraving and so forth?
Well, Debbie had talked about it. They were going to handle that on their end, I think.
Yeah,
that's just why
if you need some help, you know.
That's why I'm asking the question. Having run a brick thing for both the county extension office and for the library, it takes effort on somebody's part to replace the bricks,
right.
Put them in there, and every once in a while, bricks will become uneven, and somebody has to do something to straighten them out. I just don't know whose responsibility is that going to be once this thing is put in place.
I'm representing Haven Hospice and I'm a volunteer every year. I'm also on the membership committee for doing the Wounded Spirit. And Haven is going to be a sponsor also for this monument. And so we have quite a few veteran volunteers. And we're going to kind of take this to task as being one of our volunteer projects and to just kind of check it routinely and see how things are going. So we're going to be working with our veteran volunteers our volunteers and undertake that as one of our projects.
One other question I had, which I kind of brought up to Bill, it's kind of a minor thing, but on the wording, is causality really a word that we want to put in there? Is it a word?
Oh, it has been correct.
It has been, okay. It's casualty. Okay, that's
it. It has been
that makes much more sense. I kept looking at there going, what's a causality?
It's casualty.
All right.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
It was caused. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Just fine.
Yeah.
That's the thing I had. I think it fits in wonderful. It's just that Veterans Park, just to kind of review right before I came to this meeting, just to look at it again. And I think it would fit in wonderful.
No, actually, you do have a copy of the
correct. Oh, in here? Okay.
Yes.
Anything else? Well, I would say thank you very much for going forward with this because this is a wonderful project. And, you know, this is one of the things that's been overlooked for forever. And I can remember my father telling these stories as a child. They gave him a stick to bite on. And afterward, he saw people, friends of his at all, that were in just terrible condition. How do you, you know, help coming back from that? So I would say thank you very much for going forward with this. It would be very appropriate where it's going, and I hope that it helps anyone to consider it and think about it at any time.
My dad is in a USVA nursing home right now, and he was Korean War, and he was on the USS Missouri when they signed the treaty to end the Korean War. My two brothers, both of them, were in Desert Storm. One was in the middle of the Saudi Arabia airport when that war started. One was in the Red Sea. Both of them suffered. So my whole family, and then my son, passed away from post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury. In different ways, it has affected my whole family over these years, and not only that, but from generations long before. And we still have not, and studies for many, many years, we have wasted so many dollars, it just does not make sense that we are still today and we're doing nothing. It's like we're back in time again. You know, I mean, it does not make sense that we're still in those areas and not taking care of our loved ones that are coming back, sure, where we are sending them to war.
No, they don't want to talk about it in this one way. We fight it. We're right from the forefront. We'll have a memorial.
Yes.
We want to think about it on the first one for the nation. It's a fixed memorial.
Well,
the need at Palm Coast, you would believe it, yes, is the smallest Palm Coast is the need for it this year.
Well, not only that, but here's another. I've asked for my son's name to be recognized because he fought in Baghdad. I could hear, he'd call me every day. He had the phone. That you hear Chris Kyle, if you went to see the movie, his wife had the phone calls daily. I had those phone calls daily. My son had that security. I heard it every day. It was in my head every day. And at one time, my son called. And he asked, Mom, where is God in this? Where is God in this? And all that I could tell him is God is in you. I don't care what you've seen, what you saw, what you had to do. God is in you. And you come home the best way you can. You just make it home. And I knew at that point something horrible had touched his soul.
It's amazing what they've seen. It really hit home for me. They had the air show a few months ago there. I flew a B-17 bomber.
You were in that?
And I always wanted to do that because my dad was a bombardier on B-17 World War II. And his brother was in the Navy, and within a week's time, their mother, my great-grandmother, grandmother, got a letter saying both her sons were missing in action. Both. Within a week of each of them. And I, you know, the feeling, you know. His brother was lost at sea, and he was shot down in the German, and he actually survived. There's a book out there. Called First Over Germany, and it chronicles all the flights of the 316 Fox Squadron, every single one of them. And it tells what happened, what the mission was, how many planes went out that day, how they didn't come back, and which was shot down, every crew member by their position in the rank, and whether they survived or, you know, with POW. I mean, it really, for somebody who hasn't been in the military myself, it's good.
I want to say that with Haven Hospice and our veteran training mission, we also recognize that when veterans are facing end of life, that a lot of these demons come forward. Mm-hmm. And so one of our things is that we are ramping up a lot of our veteran one-on-one veteran chats to give them an opportunity to speak about what another person knows what they're talking about, and recognizing that if you can help them towards the end of life, that it'll be a better passing for them, because the demons just really come forward and can create habit at the end of life if they don't have that opportunity.
Right. But my son had, and I know about that one time before my son passed, he called me and he said, "Mom, I just can't handle it anymore of seeing the kid's head being blown off." At a sniper that was shot within feet of him, that was shot his kid that was 3 or 4 years old, within feet, he could feel that bullet was zooming past his head and hit the 3-4 year old. He killed him right there in front of his son's eyes. That my son never got over. And then, at the end of his life, when my son had his own child, he just got to where he couldn't have his own son in his own house. He needed medical care. And the VA turned him down while he was at the baby. And this is in Washington, D.C.
Well, let's hope that this monument will lift its feelings to come out, yeah. Even for people who we don't think are affected by it. Just like Bill and I, we never served in the military, but you can still feel that emotion from little ones. Monuments and see the name.
But this is what's so unbelievable. Is even though my son served, I asked to have my son's name up there where they killed the night. They refused to put my son's name. So I went and went and went, and God said, Palm Coast, Florida.
Well, this is the first one of its kind.
Yes,
amen.
Thank you.
I thank y'all for your anger here for some reason.
Between killed in action and was got injured in action, mentally, been a different time. But we don't see it that way. We got them all in one. Not that it happened to us, we just see it all. Your son came back, his body come back, his mind did, but it's a different.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't deal with it.
God said, don't give up. There is a door. So
well, Jeff,
thank y'all.
I think that it would be appropriate if you make that motion that we accept this monument and everything related to it,
yes.
And pass it along to the proper channels.
Parks name these things.
Yes.
I'll make that a motion. Accept it.
Yeah.
As proposed.
Okay, Ken makes the motion, and we...
Second the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
So let's...
I have also been to the Pentagon, I don't know if y'all know that. I also been to the Pentagon and have been there at the desk of Ray Odier. And I got a lot of changes done there, did a lot of changes with the Army regulations due to post-traumatic stress, and still doing that. And I will not quit. And I will continue to fight for changes in the mental and emotional care of our veterans.
Very noble. So very...
It's all I have left.
Well, thank you.
Again.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And you, was there anyone else? Okay.
Thanks. I'll keep in touch with you today. I'll let you know how it goes. Go ahead.
Appreciate it.
Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, we're gonna move along to old business.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your...
Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. God bless. Thank you for the outside.
First, what is it?
Absolutely. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You're saying your effort.
Thank you.
Keep it going.
Thank you.
Very important.
Thank you. Yes, I have it here. That's, you know what? This puts on post on the map.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, really.
What we're doing, you know.
Should put it on the map.
We need to ask about the shirts.
Yes, I need sizes.
I got sizes from everybody except you, and you didn't tell me, so I held up...
What did you, a shirt for what?
A shirt.
Yeah.
We're ordering shirts.
T-shirt. Oh, large. T-shirt?
Large.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a, I don't have, if you have double one. Yeah, sure. There you go.
Okay, just make sure. You didn't need that, did you?
No, no, it's okay.
All right. I appreciate it.
Thanks, good.
Goodbye.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
Okay, that's moving, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, under old business, we have an update on the art proposal from Emma Anna from Imagine.
Well, it's being taken down on Monday, so if you want to see it, it's still out of town center and through this weekend, and that's
okay.
It's going to be gone, and we're basically going to be over at that point. So that's the update.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks again for your work on that project. That was great.
I don't know if you saw, somebody had painted graffiti on the thing, but somebody cleaned it off, so I don't know who did that.
Well, probably one of our parks people.
One of your parks people must have cleaned it off. I didn't know if they knew, I don't know if it really makes any difference at this point, because we're taking it down Monday, but inside the backing of that thing,
uh-huh.
If you unscrew the backing, she has the cans of paint, both the beige and the white.
Oh, okay.
So if we wanted to touch up or anything like that, we can. But it looked like it had been fairly well cleaned. You kind of see on the white letter that
they spray painted something on there.
Yeah, somebody either spray painted or put something on it. When I first looked at it, you could actually still see it. It looked like they cleaned it, and then they must have come back and re-cleaned it again. But I didn't know if they knew that there was paint in that backing part. Take out the four screws. Yeah.
So maybe they can touch it up whenever they move on to the next one.
Yeah, they can. That's why I said I don't think we need to worry about it at this point. So. But other than that, I think we're all square away. So.
Okay.
You think it was well received by people? Or?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't here for most of the month of May when it was at Town Center, so I don't know what all transpired. But certainly when we had it at the library, I mean, we had the county commissioners come out. We had pictures in the newspapers of them all there. And we had school kids come and have a day there where we took pictures of them all and so forth. So. It seemed to have been well received. like I said, unfortunately, I wasn't here in May, so I don't know if we did anything. Did the Imagine School ever do anything? They were supposed to come out, and they just kind of, originally, they were going to come out and do something, but they never did.
I wish the Friends of the Library could have had a table out there just to kind of explain it to people.
You know, if it had been, I was going to try to do that, but with us being gone, and I just couldn't get it set up before we left, so.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to have done that, too. We had extra flyers that we'd run off and we'd had at the library explaining the artwork and all that. I even thought about doing it, except it seemed like it was too late this last Tuesday at the food truck Tuesday. That's when I went over and saw that they had cleaned it and everything. That I thought, well, geez, if we thought about it ahead of time, we could have maybe had a booth there, you know, and handed out stuff. But
well, we got some good press in the paper. You know?
Oh, yeah, definitely got some good press in the paper. And it seemed like it got a good reaction. Hopefully, the city feels that it was worthwhile for the cultural arts group and all, so.
So how's the landscape and the irrigation going?
Yes. I forgot to turn this thing off. This is the backup. We won't need it. There we go. Okay, now we're recording on that.
All right.
We finally got the building permit issued on Wednesday, or Friday, I guess. So I'm just waiting on a schedule from the contractor. He should be starting any day out there. Everything's set to go. So should be seeing some results soon. So by the time we have our next meeting, I'm sure there'll be some dirt turning and things happening out there.
Good time.
Good. Okay. DEAC duties and responsibilities clarification. I'm not sure what that's about.
Did you want to bring that back up? I put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
It's been 2 months, and I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
I think we just put a placeholder just for discussion.
Yeah, I was just wondering about, like, where the lines of delineation of our responsibilities for environmental concerns. I feel that we are the environmental committee. And even if it's a city project, a roadway, or a shopping center, if it's an environmental issue, maybe we should be involved. And I've always felt that the more eyes that look at something, the better. And I would rather we not limit any kind of community oversight of any project that we'd be going on. And so I think if the Planning and Land Development Review Board, they're a project-oriented board.
Right.
And they have, I think, many of their qualifications for being on that are as advertised, a builder, a contractor, a real estate person. And I think their environmental knowledge is maybe good, but it might be directed towards a certain moving the project forward. Like you see one of these things that I love is these environmental consulting firms, and to me what I look at them is as a permit approval firm rather than they have environmentalists and they do a good job. One review by our city administration as far as an environmental issues, that's fine, but I think maybe there would be some things that are not before the board within the city, environmentally sensitive properties, that wherever they are, this committee can take a look at.
Yeah, well, definitely. If we're looking to acquire properties, that's something I would want this committee to look at and have support, because when we go to city council, that would be nice to have, is that, hey, the DEAC has reviewed this and encourages, the purchase of this. We don't have anything right now we're looking to purchase. And we don't usually budget funds for it. What we usually will do, if it is environmentally sensitive, it'll qualify for a grant from the county, their land acquisition committee. And it'll also qualify for a grant from the state. So the Florida Forever type funding like that. And they usually split the cost 50-50 so that the city doesn't really have to pay for anything, because we don't have an LAC committee like the county does. We are in Flagler County, so we have rights to that money as well. So it serves the whole county. So that's what we do. And then we will put the application together, and we'll submit it to the county for funding and to the state for funding. And so we partner those two together. So that's the way it's happened in the past. We had one piece of property at Mulberry Branch that was offered to us recently. The guy just wants to give it to us. But with that comes maintenance responsibilities and this and that. And so we've given it to Denise Bevan to look at. So she's, you know, kind of looking at that a little bit. That property is at the corner of Frontier Drive and Palm Harbor Parkway, kind of where the Portuguese American Club
is. Right in that slice, right
where the Creek
Frontier hits.
Underneath there.
Yep.
We bought that property. We got that property through that same acquisition process because we didn't want it developed.
Right.
And we put it preserved. And there was a concept plan for a trail to go through there and a little small trailhead. But, you know, we have a Long Creek Nature Park now, which kind of acts as a trailhead. And, but we don't have a trail going back in there. So, and we don't have funds to build a trail. So we're kind of on hold on that right now as to whether we're going to do something with that.
Okay. Good question in that regard is what you're speaking. Is the philosophy one of acquiring the property with the idea of in the future, say it will just can just sit, because when something is not under any type of protection or ownership by an agency, an outfit like us, something of in a conservation nature, someone might want to come along and say,
right.
Okay, we're going to back houses right up to that Mulberry Branch, you know, and then it's lost forever.
Well, what we do is if we see it's threatened and we want to acquire it, we will acquire it. But we also have to, as part of this grant process, have to put a management plan together. We can't just buy it and just let it sit there. You know, they're asking, what are you going to do with it? You know, how are you going to preserve this? They usually ask you to put this area, some of the areas in conservation, so that they can't be parceled off at a later time. Like if the city gets in a bind, oh, we're going to sell this property to get some money. No, the state gives you the money for it. It's going to be a park. It's going to continue to be a park. And any funds generated, like say we have a trailhead and we sell little snacks, or we rent canoes or kayaks or bikes, all that money has to go back into the park. It can't go into the general fund. It comes into the park and use that money for improvements that you're going to make or maintenance and things like that. So we get a little money generated from, say, Linear Park, from the pavilion rentals, but it's really minuscule compared to the cost that it takes to maintain it. And so we report back to the state, but with our stewardship report every year, we say, yes, it did make money. It made, $800 this year, but, this cost that we have staff out there picking up litter, cleaning the trails, taking care of the invasives far outweighs that. So
now, in the passage of Amendment 1, was the some of that funds is supposed to be going towards things like maintenance and any type of purchasing maintenance of any type of conservation areas. It's up to the state legislature, and right now they're tugging on what to do, I guess. They're not really funding it.
I think the county has revised their requirements for those grants.
Because there's some money available.
Is that, I think, 10% or 5% can be used every year for helpful in maintenance. I think that's the way it's done. Tim Telfer runs that committee over there, and he's their environmental planner. That's something new since we got our last grant, so it doesn't really apply to anything we have but in the future projects. If it does look like we're going to acquire something, we'll definitely use you as a resource and also to help get it passed, get it through, because we'll have to take it to council and convince council that this is money well spent. And even if we're not spending money, we'll still have to enter into agreements doesn't have to be approved by council. So it's committing us long-term to this thing.
Okay. We should make that a point of issue to review at least as a committee when we go forward, when that does occur.
And if you guys see something, if you see some vacant property out there you think is environmentally threatened, I mean, we pretty well know what it is, but, you know, we'll take suggestions if you want to bring it up and say, hey, what about this property here? Is it worth the city acquiring for this or that? So we've already acquired it or in the process. Up north, Old Kings Road, in fact, I have been expecting to come and talk to you about that. There's a piece of property up there north of Kansas High School, on North Old Kings Road, as you go to Princess Place, mm-hmm. on the left, on the west side of the road. That property was under violation with the Water Management District. It for years, they've been dredging and filling and destroying wetlands, and they've been caught, and they have to do mitigation, and the guy doesn't have any money to do it, this and that. And I think the city's going to take that over and do mitigation for it. We're trying to budget for that now. So why don't I see if Denise will come talk to you about that and let you know what we're doing with that
presently.
Isn't that
a piece of property? I thought Denise talked to us about that.
She did, yeah.
Went out there and waded through everything out there trying to look at it.
Right, that's right. We did talk
yes.
about that.
Yeah. I mean, before you were on.
It was Jeffrey on the...
I don't think so. I think that was some time ago when you guys were first thinking about it, because she had the pictures of all you guys trying to go out there.
I'd like to see an update on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have Denise put an update together on that.
Yeah, an update would be good.
I have a question, though. I think over the years, you guys have been fairly good about whether it's Long's Landing or whatever, whenever we're acquiring property and getting us involved and letting us look at it. And I think that's obviously we want to continue that, but I just have a question, I guess, as far as, you know, when something is decided, say like the homes that are being built out there by the old golf, or the golf course is out there.
Which golf course?
Palm Harbor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And you develop all
that whole right. new development. Who in the city or whoever looks at the environmental impact of what they're doing? I know we have standards. As far as like you have to leave X amount of trees and work out all that process.
Yeah, Denise does that.
Denise is our person.
Yeah, and I'm her backup for it. So
okay.
we kind of team together because some of her stuff kind of overlaps into my stuff.
Right.
So she relies on their environmental consultants to provide her the information she needs. She reviews it
right.
to make sure she agrees with it. Sometimes she doesn't agree with it. They'll go out there and they'll dispute a wetland line because it's somewhat. You know, up for discussion, and but they'll set that line jointly, and then decide, you know, what the mitigation is and what has to happen. That land was actually privately owned. We really didn't have any control over it. It was privately owned, and I would have kind of liked to see that made a city park or something. Would have been really nice with access to
the canals. Maybe that helps answer my question a little bit. But so when something is privately owned like that, we're saying that. You really don't have an environmental study done on it?
Oh, no.
Oh,
they
okay.
do. They
okay.
all do.
Okay.
Even stuff we have.
That's why I said.
Like the study is done from the owners
the
of the
owner
property.
The owner pays for that. We
they
don't pay for
do
it.
The study. The city reviews the study and then maybe, as you say, argues a line or for a wetland of something. Is that correct?
Yeah.
A study isn't done by the city itself.
Right.
Just a review of the consulting firms.
Yep.
And obviously, I know you don't. The last thing you want to do is add another layer of approval, kind of things. So I'm not getting into that. But at the same time, it does seem like if Denise maybe would cover some of those larger projects, Denise come in and bring it to us to just explain what they have decided on, what they look at, just to like. I agree with Jeff. More eyes looking at it might bring up questions or issues that maybe we might, at least, if nothing else, will fulfill our knowledge by being able to
ask typically of what she looks for.
Right,
the criteria.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know with as much that goes on, you can't have them all here, you know, for every single thing. But I think certainly a major project, say like that one and some of these others that are taking place, it would be good to have her come in and discuss it with us, say, these are the things that we questioned, these are the things we looked at. It would give us a better feel for what the process is and what happens. And we might even be able to come up with some suggestion as to, have we looked at this or not looked at this?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Wonderful. I'm all for it.
There was an article in the paper yesterday, I think it was today, I don't know, somebody was ranting on how Palm Coast, it was about, concerning Mr. Millville's charter review thing and why he wants to do it. And somebody else wrote an editorial about it and said that, you know, Palm Coast, the worst thing that happened was to have that Chick-fil-A come in, you know. And they said, well, that should have been a Trader Joe's or something like that, or a nightclub with music and this and that, and Palm Coast is missing it. Well, those kind of people don't understand. We don't have control over private property. If it's zoned, you know, we're going to talk about zoning later, but if it's zoned for this, and a private property owner wants to put this on, we can't stop them. It's their right to do that.
It meets the requirements that you have.
And they said, why did the city let them build there? Yeah. Oh, well, it's...
Landon came to the library, within last year, I guess it was, talked to us all about, you know, answer those kinds of questions and so forth. He was laughing about it. Because people think, you know, how come there's not a fish place that you can buy? She says, we have no control. He explained that. We have no control on that whatsoever.
And there's reserved parcels all around.
Right.
You know, people are up in arms about the convenience store on Pine Lakes Parkway now. Yeah. How could you let that be built there, you know, and, hey, it's so commercial. When you bought your house,
that's right.
You should have done your homework and knew. Well, they said it was a preserve.
Oh.
No, it's a reserve parcel, not a preserve.
Yeah.
They said it.
Yeah.
That's the key there.
Look at it first. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is maybe we can get Carl Cody in here to do a capital project update.
That would be good. Yes.
And those are the projects that you're interested in, too. You know, talk about the Old Kings Road extension, the Palm Harbor Parkway extension, the Batanzas.
Yes.
You know, the whole thing, you know, with all those projects right now are in the mix. We're at different percent design, 80%, 90%, you know, some are just starting. But so now would probably be a good time to.
And actually, he has the book for the 5-year plan, you know, and you kind of go through that with the.
We can pull up the capital improvements 5-year plan. You can see the money and the dollars and what project is going to. We're just now setting those priorities for the next fiscal year. We have a what we call an infrastructure team meeting every Thursday afternoon, and we sit down with everybody that's involved in that and look at our projects and see where our progress. We have a timeline that we have. The timeline is our anticipated timeline, and then we have the actual timeline to see if we're on target. As to, you know, when this project's going to be done, and if it's going to be done by the end of the fiscal year, which is October 1st, do we have to carry money over to the next year to finish it? You know, we're trying to get it all done in there, but sometimes things happen. You know, we don't get permits back from the water management district in time, or some other things happen, or maybe, for instance, the weir that just blew out there at Pine Lakes Parkway and Belterre, right there across the Catholic Church. You've seen all that work there.
Yeah.
That blew out, and that caused some major problems for the Pine Lakes Golf Course, because that's where they draw their water from, and now it's pretty much dry. So they're sucking mud. They're worried about losing their course. So we've got the cofferdam and then the temporary dam. So now all we need is rain. It's not raining now, so they're still, you know, sweating it out there. And of course, that's the same water we are going to some of our medians with. So the money that had to be fixed, we didn't budget for it. We didn't know it was going to blow out of like 4 years after it was redone. So so now they've had to bump some projects that were funded for this year into next year. So it's a changing thing. I mean, you give it your best shot, and then you have to explain to council at the end of the year, why didn't you get this done? And then we have to explain, because this happened. We had no control, but it's budgeted for next year. So
I think that would be good if you could bring them in, Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah, twice a year would be good.
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
Thank you for that.
All right, let's see where we are. We did that. So I guess we're number seven, city-owned property development and zoning classifications.
And maybe I could lead off on this one a little bit. There's a project right now, and we talked, I think, about it already, is the assisted living facility there on Colbert.
Yeah.
They're wanting to change the zoning.
Right.
And it was zoned conservation and green belt, and, you know, probably back in, when we were doing our land development, go back in 2007, 2008, we looked at aerial maps of the city, you know, and you can pretty well tell where wetlands are and Graham Swamp, how it flows from a wetland aerial, because of the different colors you get. And I sat down with Denise, myself, and a couple other people, and we decided, okay, what areas are environmentally sensitive? What areas do we need to preserve? You know, where do we need to maintain a connectivity, you know, so you don't cut off an area from wildlife and wetland flows? And that was one of the ones we looked at. We said, okay, we've got hardwood hammocks, some really nice trees, we've got, you know, wetlands here. We didn't ground truth it. We didn't walk and look at these sites like you would when it comes under development. So this is why we put that on there. So we have the developer coming now saying, oh, we really need this facility. It's right across from Grand Haven. This is a natural transition that as these people in Grand Haven get older, and they assist us, they can move right across the street, and it's convenient and all that. This is the spot for it. So they brought in a site plan. First, they wanted to change the zoning. Well, the first site plan was okay. They kind of, you know, worked around the area, as we said we were going to.
This is in the paper.
This is in the paper. And then they came back with another plan that had this big box, you know, five-story thing smacked right in the middle, and that's when they wanted to change the zoning. You know, they want to change it so they can do this because, you know. And we went out and ground-truthed it, and it made us realize we did a pretty good job back in 2008 because it was pretty sensitive and gorgeous oak trees, beautiful habitats there for the wildlife. And so we stuck to our guns. You know, they said, well, you know, we're going to walk with you. Go ahead and walk. But we said, look at other properties. You know, the city doesn't disagree that we need something like this. I think we do.
But not really.
But it doesn't have to be here. We even told them the tennis center, the old tennis center there by European Village. That site's big enough to support that facility.
Right.
Why don't you put it there? Well, they don't know. They were looking at only the properties they own. So, you know, they've put some money into it. Now they've come back and said, okay, we're going to not go for the rezoning. We're going to just go to straight zoning. And we're going to apply for it. We're going to stay out of those areas you told us to stay out of. So that's where it's headed now. So we're going to be seeing a site plan soon where they're going to work around it. But we're still looking after some of the big specimen trees, you know, because those are not in the wetlands. Some of them, they're in the uplands. So those are the developable areas. But the plan for that area says that you're supposed to preserve the highest concentration of specimen and historic oak trees. So they can't just plop a building in those areas. So they're working around them, and I'm not real comfortable yet at how close they're getting to these trees. I mean, they say they're not taking them out, but if you're within 15 feet of a 60-inch oak tree, you're substantially going to kill the tree. And then if the story of the building's three or four or five stories, you know, these trees have horizontal branches. What are you going to do? Just zip up the one side, cut all the branches off because of the building? I mean, that's happened before, you know. If you're looking on a plan, oh, I've saved it. And you get out in construction, the contractor calls you up, hey, I need to talk to you out here. I need to lend this tree up because my building's not going to clear it, you know. And so we try to look ahead in those things to see, and that's the ground truth, you know. If we look at Harold, go out and see, hey, you know, we've got some low branches on this side, you know, maybe we can do something over here, but can't go over here. So we'll look at it at a lower altitude now on the next review, so. That's where that's at.
Could be great. Stick to your guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we did.
Yeah.
I have another concern about the city properties. And, you know, I'm looking at the map of Palm Coast going around and the property appraiser's map, there's a lot of parcels of land throughout the city. There are many large and small, and are used for drainage, right-of-ways, easements that are owned by the city property. A lot of these homes, they border, a lot of these properties border homes on cul-de-sacs, along canals, that type of thing. Now, you know, from an environmental standpoint, these are the habitat fragments that can support wildlife as we go forward,
right,
to building a big Palm Coast city where the many trees that folks see when they're driving down their street may not be there anymore because they're all be homes. It's all buildable properties, except for these city properties that are found in those areas. Now, what I'm concerned about is the properties, the city properties that border homes like in the back. And what I'm speaking of, I have a specific instance that happened to me. Behind my home, we have there's a drainage structure along, we own the lot next door, or it's between our lot and the home, there's a drainage structure. It goes back to a deeper drainage structure out to the canal.
Right.
It's on Birchwood Drive. And there's a large conservation area behind that. It V's out from the property that's next to our lot.
I'm familiar with that. I know
where wide you're out to the canal.
There's a big lake out there.
Yeah, the right of which way? North of the lake? South? East? Right now, I can't get my compass designation, but it goes to the lake is behind there. And what happened, and this was back a few years ago, when, it must have been more than a few years, it was when the property was managed by the Palm Coast Community Service Corporation, and one of our city employees of the long term that just retired was the chairman or the manager of that. Right. And he did a great job. Well, there was the property on the other side, we're on one side of the ditch, and the folks on the other side, two of the homes, one of the homes that was on the canal, had about, I would say, at least a lot size, if not an acre, of this conservation area behind our home. Well, one day we were hearing cracking noises and crashing noises, and we thought it was someone clearing a lot across the canal. Well, the second day we heard it again, so I walked back over there, and they were clearing the property.
Oh, they were?
This conservation area, yeah.
With what, a piece of equipment? Or?
Yes, they had a little backhoe in there, and not it wasn't city people, it was just somebody they contracted.
Yeah.
I said to them, hey, what are you doing? And they said, oh, we're clearing this for him. And I said, well, does he have a permit? He said, well, I don't know, you got to go ask him. And I said, well, I'm going to go ask him. So he's not home now. So, next thing I know, it's turned into his backyard.
When did this happen? How long ago?
This was when it was in with the Community Service Corporation.
Oh, a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a while back.
Yeah.
And so I was walking back there, on the right by the canal or the ditch, and then standing on the canal at the interface of it, and the fellow in the home yells out, "Get off my property!"
Get off his property.
So I know. What did he say? It's not your property. He says, okay, you want to be that way? He disappears. I look around. I go, oh, boy, this is great. And I walk back to the house. Like 15 minutes later, there's a knock at the door. It's the sheriff's office. He's handing me a pink piece of paper, notice of trespassing. What it's saying is that if I go back on there again, they call the police, I can be arrested for like a third degree misdemeanor trespassing. And what is this? So it took me two letters to the sheriff. So finally, one of the lieutenants came over to the house. I had all the maps. I showed him. He said, well, you know, you're right. This is not tore it up and said, I'll only throw it in and get you off any type of registry of that, you know, you're not trespassing. But what I'm concerned about is there's several undeveloped lots on the other side that border the other side of my home. And these lots face out to that...
Undeveloped single-family lots.
They're home sites.
Platted lots.
Platted lots. Platted lots that go around the cul-de-sac to the street. Birchwood Drive takes a curve right there. And they're undeveloped, but unbuilt. But they go back to that canal, and like two of the lots, or three, have like an acre and a half distance to go back to the canal. Well, I am just wondering, what is the policy of the city to ensure that that doesn't turn into their backyard?
It's interesting you're talking about that right now. We're just now drafting,
That's what I'm getting at, I guess, is what...
Because people on the freshwater canals and things like that...
That's what it is.
...are putting docks in, and they're clearing the area there, and we're making language a little more specific. They used to have what they called a landscape agreement that the Community Service Corporation gave to people who wanted to do that. They'd give them a landscape plan, and they'd, you know, say they're, you know, gonna, you know, how they were going to stabilize it, this, and they were allowing those things. Now, they're kind of getting away from that. They want them to be left natural. And then if they're going to put a dock in, I think they will permit it, but it has to be the minimum amount of clearing get the dock in. You know, you can just clear to put the dock in and leave the rest of it natural. Now, if you need to clear for some, clean or clear any further, that's dependent upon a review of a landscape plan, and I would probably review that to see that they're putting appropriate littoral zone plantings and making it look nice, not just clearing it and putting grass right down to the slope, because that's the last thing we want, because from an environmental standpoint, you know, you don't want St. Augustine grass down there and irrigation, and you're fertilizing it with pesticides, and it goes right into the water. So that is being drafted, so we're tightening that up a little bit right now. But they are not allowed to do anything on there without a permit. So if you see any activity, let us know.
Okay, that's what I was wondering about, is the permit is needed. Because these folks didn't have a permit. And like I said, this was a long time ago. And I am concerned because there is a lot of wildlife that utilize that those areas. And we have across the street, behind my home, my neighbors across the street, there's a strip about a lot wide behind each of the home sites. The design of it, I guess, had to take into account the curve in the road. And so there's an area behind there that is also undeveloped. And that can be a wildlife corridor to the canal and to this area if it's allowed to be that way. And I think it's going to be something that's very, very important as there's homes all along the way there. And I think it's happening right now. There was a home that was built on Birchwood on the canal. And, you know, if we're talking about a 10-foot or a 20-foot distance from the back of the property line to the water's edge, that's one thing. But if we're talking about acreage or a whole other lot size, that's a different matter altogether.
Yeah, right.
And that's what I'm concerned about, is those places, not just for me in this area, so I can see the deer and continue to feed them, but for everybody all over where all the city properties are. I'm wondering what the policy is where it borders homes.
That's it. I'm just telling you, that's what
our permit is needed.
Permit is needed to do anything. And we're also, in the past, there have been subdivisions developed where they will, to maybe meet their minimum lot sizes, they'll extend a lot back into a wetland. Okay?
Right.
And it'll have that line there, and it'll say on the plat, you know, it's a wetland, and you're not supposed to go in there, this and that. But you're leaving yourself open because that homeowner's there. They don't know it's a wetland. They're going to mow or go, and just like you said, they're going to take ownership of it and do all kinds of stuff down there that they're not supposed to. And then it becomes an enforcement thing. But now we're not allowing them to do that. We don't let them plat the lots in the wetlands. They have to stay out of that wetland. And if they need to get a bigger lot, then they just have to make it wider. But to make that lot a common area. So that's another thing we're looking to make that a little harder to do. And there's one other project, like you talked about, up in the Kansas Woods. There's a parcel. It's kind of a square parcel, and all these lots back up around it, and there's some easements for drainage going in there. It's for drainage. And we were asked, you know, we were looking for areas for where we could put more ball fields, sports fields. And I looked at it with Luanne Santangelo, our Parks Recreation Director, and we were supposed to look and see, well, two things. One, it has wetlands kind of interspersed throughout the whole thing, you know, so it's not like they're all in one area and you've got uplands all in here. So that would really make it kind of undevelopable for that. You know, it might, I mean, maybe it could be a park, a passive park with some trails through it someday. But the other thing was, is that, you know, you're backing up all these houses, you've got to think of the use. And you put a soccer field or a baseball field, and then there's going to be lights. And you know, it got these people backed up. You know, you have to respect their, you know, privacy and all that. Now, even, you know, one thing I was a little disappointed of is that there's an FPNL easement that runs through the northern section there in the F section going up to McDaniels High School. And we wanted to put a multi-purpose path meandering through there, you know, a little 12-foot wide asphalt path.
Where the big, those big power lines are.
Yeah, so that the kids have a safe way to get to high school, you know, back and forth and for exercise, like on some of these other paths. And you think the residents would like that? They hated it. They came out in force.
They didn't want any kids near their property.
Was it the NIMBYs? Not in my backyard. They thought that people would rob them and steal and be vandals and all this stuff that never usually happens on trails. So it killed the project. And Mr. Land says, fine, we'll take our money, we'll spend it on a trail in another subdivision. So, you know, it was kind of unfortunate. It would really have been a neat little connector.
Yeah, that's nice. Too big.
And it would have given the people on the property a nice walking path as well.
Yeah,
just think about it.
I would have loved it if I lived there.
Yeah, and it's not going to be used 24 hours a day either.
Well, they all have good visions and they have to use.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, and really the last thing on our agenda here is the beautification award. I looked at the pictures.
I want to bring that up here.
I went by the place.
Did you?
I'm totally unimpressed.
Yeah, it's.
Ken, I'm so glad that you said it before I did.
Because I mean, it's nice. The guy was trimming it while I was there, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there are a whole lot of other properties. Unless there's some before pictures that shows that it was that sort of shithole. Excuse my language. And you know, it now looks different. I was totally unimpressed.
You have some nice plants.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of houses that have even better landscaping than I've seen. You know, I don't know if it's new or not, but I mean,
we need to nominate some. We have nothing. We haven't had anybody.
I know we haven't. We haven't had anybody.
I talked to the guy and I said, we need to encourage more than that. And his whole idea was that. He wanted to encourage other people to beautify their property.
Sure.
And I said, well, that's one of the purposes of this program,
right,
is to encourage people to do things like this. And, you know, putting a sign up saying, oh, you got recognized for this, or my yard is just as good, or I need to, you know, step it up a little bit. You know, maybe I can get an award like that. I mean, he actually didn't even want the recognition. You know, he said... because he'd asked me about it before, and I told him that, nominate, you want to nominate him, so, you know,
right,
so I said, okay, well, I will nominate you, because it does have some attributes, you know, he's using, microbes to, in lieu of fertilizer, and he's actually doing it on some of his neighbor's property, he's kind of maintaining some other properties, and, it did look bad. It wasn't the best
it's not
design, but I thought, well, I'll bring it and you all can talk about it.
I personally wouldn't give them a beautification award, my own feeling.
Well, we have the other.
I was going to say, appreciate your efforts or whatever that one is that we have, kind of recognizing that somebody's made an effort to it. What do you call that?
There's the front thing there.
Actually, I think some of the designs just out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, well.
We'll table that then, is that what the?
Well, I think I'm hearing Ken say maybe they might.
Well, you could give them that, whatever that, I can't remember our wording on it. Didn't we have a sign that said we appreciate your efforts or something like that?
Yeah.
And it's not really the beautification one, but it does recognize the fact that they've made an effort to do some work.
Yeah, we'd be amenable to that.
Yeah.
Yes, I would too, but other than that.
Yeah. So I'll make a motion that we give 84 Brookside Lane a we appreciate your efforts sign.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, the public participation is done.
Yeah.
Matters not on the agenda. And the only thing I had was emphasize that I thought that number in the directions for filling out this form excluded us because we are an advisory.
No, I mean for oh, that thing, yeah.
So
you worry about that tax form and a financial one.
Yeah, this got in their past, and I was annoyed with it. But since I saw that,
I'll check on that for you. Okay.
So I assume that in 3 or 4 days I'll get this back in the mail, whether they agree with me.
When's it due?
Oh, July.
July something, rather. Yeah, it's like July 1st or something.
All right, I'll report back to the next meeting.
And that's a penalty if you don't do it, right?
Huh?
And there's a penalty involved.
Oh yeah, they have some like per day or something penalty.
Yeah, some absurd.
$50 a day or something absurd like that. Yeah. So, like, you don't have me back by doing it.
It's the disclosure form.
Yeah.
Scribble that and I threw the rest of the way.
Yeah,
it says that's right. I threw the rest of it. I filled the form out and just mailed it back to her, and I threw out all the instructions. So I don't have that to look at either to know what it said.
Well, I haven't done anything with it. I have it sitting on my desk.
Yeah.
I was wondering if we get to do that. I'm glad that you mentioned that. I'd forgotten about it.
You know, and even if I'm required to do it, I'm going to make a mistake.
Because I'm retired by the time.
That's right.
Okay. Nap time.
Gosh.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Approved.
Thank you all.